This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. Putin's not got a free shot. All these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
It's Thursday, 9 May, Year of Our Lord 2024. We're absolutely packed today, but I wanted to open with the show that leads into us every day, a special report with Tara and Miranda. You guys are here. Thank you very much. I haven't had the opportunity to be in Palm Beach since you guys started the show, and we know our audience loves it. And now I know why, because normally we're getting ready in the last 30 minutes running around. I haven't really focused on your last segment. It's brutal. It's absolutely brutal.
I think that's
of the nicest people I know around, and that is a brutal segment.
Maybe a little.
The stories that kind of get like glossed over, but you know, kind of show the culture that we're in today, the woke culture, a lot of the woke stories of the day. So
talking about late afternoon has become the new prime time. You know, even the big broadcasters, Nicole Wallace over at MSNBC, those are some of the highest rated shows they've got. It's where the big advertisers go. Tell me about doing a show, our audience, later in the afternoon. How do you curate the stories? How do you guys think them through? What are you trying to present different than people that do, you know, early morning when people are first getting up?
Well, I think what we're trying to do different is really like showcase all of our different talents. You know, Tara, obviously, you know Tara, background in national security. She's been overseas multiple times and war zones. She's covered the border. So we want to cover that. And that's
so you do the mercenary part with Tara.
She focuses on. And then, you know, everyone kind of has a wheelhouse. Kaylin comes on. Obviously, he was a marketing director during, you know, Trump's campaign. So anything race, you know, 2024, anything that's going viral on social media, it's a little mix of it all, right?
Yeah.
Talk to me. Roughly 6 months out. 4 months and I think North Carolina ballots dropped the first week of September. As you guys see the underlying driving force of this, you're covering Biden every day. You're covering the White House. You're covering the news. Where do you think we are in this campaign? I just gave a speech last night, and that's what everybody wants to know. Where are we?
Where are we? Trump?
Yeah.
Trump's way ahead. I mean,
there's no doubt.
No doubt whatsoever.
As you look at the poll, well, that's the question. What
but
are they going to try?
It's the pulse. It's the pulse of the American people.
Yeah.
You know that. You're always out amongst the people. I remember this even in 2020, leading into 2020. What I thought was really eye-opening is I didn't see anybody enthusiastic about Biden, and you really don't see it now.
You're saying the hate. You guys took the Aaron Burnett. Tell me about the Aaron Burnett interview. Pretty stunning last night.
Yeah.
I mean, Aaron Burnett backed him into a corner on inflation, and he didn't like it at all.
No, but, I mean, that's the reality. We always said on the show, Bidenomics, worst marketing campaign ever.
They dropped it. They don't say it. Internally, they said they're not going to talk about it. What about Axios had the story the other day. They will not talk about the 81 million votes. They're focused on the six battleground states, what they call the 6% of the seven. What are your thoughts on that?
I think the one thing to watch for is the voter turnout, right? But then also, Steve, the illegals voting and what is going to be done with the DMVs, because you automatically get registered to vote. And I know Congress had that vote yesterday where the Democrats voted to give the illegals for the census.
Yes.
But which thankfully didn't pass, but that's what they're going to try to do. And I think that's the number one thing that we need to get in front of.
As you remember in the White House, we took the illegals out of the census, right? Mm-hmm. And we had to go to court and the Commerce Department. I mean, it was one
which
of
is common
Trump's
sense.
Common sense. And President Trump knew it would lead to a portal for illegal voting. What do you think they're trying to pull to take it away from Trump?
What won't they try to pull to take it away from
Trump?
I think they're trying to arrest him,
put him in jail. But I think they're.
Do you think Stormy? I got Mike Davis. I got Boris. We're going to get into it today. Do you think Stormy Daniels, more of this sleaze is out there? You think it's going to impact the voters?
Okay, maybe in New York, but I mean, her credibility is shot. I mean, I don't know who's worse, Cohen or her. I mean, they're both liars, well documented. She lied twice.
You're saying credibility, one a lying lawyer, the other a porn star. Who's got the worst credibility?
I don't know. It's a toss-up. Who do you think is worse, Cohen or Stormy Daniels?
I would actually say Cohen.
Okay.
I think because Stormy Daniels, she's a porn star, but she is who she is, right?
Former porn star.
But,
not anymore.
Okay.
Well, that we know of.
But she is who she is, where Cohen is deceptive. He's deceiving. He worked with Trump. He turned on Trump. I think that's worse, I think, because she is who she is. She always has been.
Yeah.
Cohen is deceptive.
Do you think her testimony has gotten through? Because they're not arguing a crime. We still don't know what the crime is, right? Do you think it's breaking
through? Because there isn't a crime.
Okay, that's the point. Do you think the narrative that Trump is sleazy, Trump associates with porn stars, do you think that's breaking through to America?
I would say if you already support Trump, no, you're not fazed by it. In fact, if anything, you're just more
motivated.
What about
if you're that 10%, the mythical 10% people are trying to get to?
I think her credibility is still shot.
Okay.
So you don't
think lawfare is working right now? Or
I think it's working in his favor.
In his favor, why?
I think if they want to put him in jail, go for it, because I think his numbers
you
will
would
just
say,
go up.
I'd say call the bluff, Netanyahu to call the bluff of Biden in Rafah. Trump ought to call the bluff on the judge.
Absolutely.
With the gag order. You think so?
Absolutely.
A night in jail wins him the election?
I think he's already won it, but certainly wouldn't hurt.
You think so? You would recommend to President, if you're talking right now, blow through the gag order, throw down hard on this. Don't stop. He throws you in jail for a night.
Why not? Everything that they've thrown at him has only increased his poll numbers, only increased his fundraising.
So you think it's working?
Yeah.
The law firm is working in our side.
Yeah,
I think it's working on our side, too. And it shows who Trump is. And it shows that he's been fighting. He's saying, you know, that the Constitution is worth more than if he has to go to jail. He's going to stand for the Constitution. You know more than anyone, Steve. You've been out on the front and you're standing for our country, saying whatever comes your way, you're going to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where people look. And then we fall behind you guys because you guys.
Well, no,
are
that's why I'm so proud
front.
Of President Trump. And quite frankly, I'm proud of Peter Navarro.
I'm proud of you, Steve.
Well, I'm proud of. No, thank you. I'm proud of Navarro. He's in a prison down here.
So
now,
wrong.
Jim Jordan sent today another strongly worded letter to get the Bureau of Prisons to testify because she said she won't let Gates or anybody go see him because he's too notorious. Special report. What should people know about it? Where should they go? What, social media, all that.
Social media, yes. Please join us on Rumble, especially Getter.
The Rumble crowd, the Rumble live audience is a little rough. I like them.
They
come in. They don't hold back.
Yeah, Rumble. Getter,
if they like the segment, it's good. But if not, they're going to tell you right at the beginning.
Yes. Well,
do they relate to the Mean Girls last segment? That thing's
really?
Brutal.
You're
that thing
mean.
Is brutal.
I thought we were that mean.
That thing is so brutal. Christy Noem will never recover.
Oh.
Is that story of the year? Is that story of the year so far?
We played it, but we didn't say anything.
We're all bark and no bite.
Bark and no bite.
Oh, too soon?
No.
Sorry.
Too good. Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you. Special report every day.
Every day.
And you've got a new show. What's your,
yes.
You've got a new show
oh,
that's
yes,
going to
yes,
premiere.
Yeah, a new show coming up, Threat Assessment, and that's going to be airing the first week of June. And we will just talk about if it's an internal, inside America threat, war and energy, the deep state. We'll talk about Israel, Iran, China.
This is where you're putting your CIA mercenary. I'm just kidding.
Yes.
She's
awesome.
Tara's been everywhere, from Burma to the Nineveh to the hardest to Kurdistan, everywhere. Just unbelievable. Yes. So that first week of June,
first
we see that.
First week of June. Yes.
Fantastic.
And
thank
then
you guys.
Hopefully
thank
you can
Steve.
Join us on Special Report.
I'll maybe get over here on the sofa.
Yeah,
right?
For the last block.
For the Mean
okay,
Girls.
Okay, fine. As long as I don't get picked on.
No,
don't put that
not.
To a vote and Rumble, right? As long as I don't get picked on.
Definitely not.
Let's go to Mike Davis. Is Mike Davis with us? Hey, Mike, today we heard that, that Mike Johnson said he cannot possibly cut off Jack Smith. The day after the vote that saved him by the Democrats, we now find out he says there's nothing they can do about Jack Smith. Mike Davis is wrong. Steve Bannon's wrong. Marjorie Taylor Greene's wrong.
Well, first, I would say that you have these two beautiful and smart women, and then you have these faces for radio. These two Irish myths come on. This is not really fair.
Hold it. No. The reason I had to get the good-looking, smart girls off of here, I'm afraid Rob Sigs on check ratings. I'm going to lose my 5 o'clock hour. So continue on, Davis.
So I would say this about these House Republicans. They need to find their backbones. This lawfare an election interference by President Biden, by Merrick Garland, by Jack Smith, by Jonathan Sue, by Matthew Colangelo, Alvin Bragg, Tish James.
But Mike, hang on. Yo, Mike Johnson's listened to you. Don't get me wrong. They cut clips from the war and we're beating on him all the time. He's heard that. He's saying Mike Davis is wrong. He told Politico, I've thought about it. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't. There's nothing I do about Jack Smith. It just is what it is. President Trump's going to have to take the incoming. Davis is wrong. Bannon's wrong. War Room's wrong. Is he wrong? Are there things we can do today with hearings and other things to basically begin the process to expose Jack Smith and shut this thing down?
Absolutely. The reason this lawfare has gone on for 22 months, the reason we are in week four of this unprecedented bogus criminal prosecution of a former and likely future president of the United States is because these Biden Democrats, Biden and these Biden Democrats have walked through an open door. There has been very little resistance, no effective resistance from House Republicans, and they have subpoena power. They should be issuing subpoenas constantly for testimony, for staff depositions, for documents, for these witnesses. They should be threatening to cut off funding through these appropriations writers like Andrew Clyde has. They should have public hearings. The reason that these Biden Democrats are on offense is because we don't have them on defense. They have had no resistance. And I can blame the House Republican leadership. And that includes Mike Johnson now. That includes Jim Jordan. These are Republican-ending tactics by these Biden Democrats. Jack Smith is running a corrupt prosecution against President Trump. You had Jay Bratz, who allegedly threatened Stanley Woodward, Trump co-defendant Walt Nauta's attorney, threatening Stanley Woodward that if Walt Nauta did not turn on President Trump, that Stanley Woodward's application for the D.C. Superior Court would be negatively affected by Jay Bratz. That is obstruction of justice. You have Jay Bratz working in the Biden Justice Department, working with the political hacks at the National Archives and others in the Justice Department and Jonathan Sue in the Biden White House Counsel's office to concoct this political hit, the Mar-a-Lago raid for presidential records that President Trump was allowed to have. You have evidence in front of Judge Cannon now that they doctored the evidence. They put in these highly classified cover sheets and sent out a photo of the Mar-a-Lago raid. That's not how they found the evidence. This is a political hit by President Biden, his Justice Department, against President Trump. And Speaker Mike Johnson, House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan, including Weaponization Subcommittee Chairman Jim Jordan, should be doing a lot more. And if they're not going to do a lot more, then we need to find people for these jobs who will do more. And this is unacceptable that there's no congressional oversight. They have the power of the purse. They have the power to make sure that these executive branch officials are following the law. They have the power to make sure that federal funds that have been spent on these state and local prosecutions are not for political purposes. And it's very clear that this is an organized hit against President Trump to interfere in the election and to deprive him of his civil rights as an American, right? His civil rights, including the right to speak. He has an illegal gag order on him. And House Republicans need to do a lot more. They need to cut off this funding. These Biden Democrats waited 30 months to bring these unprecedented criminal prosecutions, and they timed these back to back to back for these trials to happen during the middle of the presidential campaign. This is unacceptable. And it's unacceptable that House Republicans are not doing more.
Mike, just hang over a second. I know you got to bounce, but I just want to hold you through the break for a couple more questions. Seb Gorka is going to join us. Boris, actually at the courthouse when they walk out, Boris is going to join us. Andrew Giuliani is at the courthouse. We've got a lot going on this afternoon around lawfare. Seb and I are going to talk about Victory Day in Russia and what's happening in Israel. Birchgold.com. Make sure you've got the fifth free installment, The End of the Dollar Empire, number 5, Central Bank Digital Currency. Go get it and check it out today. Short break. Davis on the other side.
Can your savings weather an economic storm? Think about what you've put away for the future. Inflation can render cash worthless. Real estate can crash like in 2008. Economies built on a mountain of debt can fall like a house of cards. There are very few physical assets you can invest in that can stand the test of time. Gold has withstood this as a valued form of money for millennia. I actually think for 8,000 years of man's recorded history. It's why people are flocking to it now, why Birch Gold is busier than ever. Through a little-known tax loophole, Birch Gold lets you convert a retirement account into a tax-sheltered IRA in physical gold. And the best part, it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. Let me repeat that. It doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. To learn more about this, to immerse yourself in information, text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and claim your free info kit on gold. Let me ask you this again. Can your IRA or 401k weather an economic storm? Because a storm's coming. If it can't, call the people I trust. That's Birch Gold. Text Bannon to 989898. Secure your savings today. Birch Gold Group.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, welcome back. Remember, it's times of turbulence. It's just not the end of the dollar empire. I need you to go to birchgoldtoday.com/Bannon and ask for Philip Patrick and the team. We do the macro here, the capital markets, the macroeconomics, all of that. They do the micro there. Go talk to them. Birchgold.com/Bannon. Talk to Philip Patrick. Remember, we get sponsors. We make sure that you have access to the senior executives in the company. So go check it out today. He's their lead analyst. You will learn a lot from him about why gold has been a hedge in times of financial turbulence for, I don't know, about 8,000 years of recorded history. Not too shabby. Mike Davis, amazing. Henry Rogers, chief national correspondent of the Daily Caller, has an exclusive just popped on Daily Caller. Amazing. It talks about, and if Denver can be so nice, eventually get it up there. If it's talking about Trump's favorite lawyer and his blueprint, his master plan to stop lawfare. I know you get a bounce, but can you take a minute or two and walk us through this?
Well, I met with the Conservative Opportunity Society, chaired by Congressman Ralph Norman last Wednesday. And there are over a dozen House Republicans there. And these are the real deal House Republicans. These are the tip of the spear types who are ready to launch a counteroffensive against this Biden Democrat lawfare and election interference. And their main job is I arm them with information. And so they can go to Jim Jordan on the House Judiciary Committee and on the Weaponization Committee and House Speaker Mike Johnson and let them know that they're very serious about ramping up this counteroffensive against Biden and these Democrats who are waging this republic-ending lawfare and election interference against Trump. These Democrats waited 30 months to bring these cases against President Trump. They can wait. They can pause these cases until after the presidential election. And there's no reason they can't do that. They can wait till after the election. They need to stop this election interference. This is a criminal conspiracy by Biden and Garland and Jack Smith and so many other Democrat prosecutors, Matthew Colangelo, Jonathan Sue, Alvin Bragg, Tish James, Fannie Willis, the Arizona AG. This is a criminal conspiracy.
And your point is it must start now. We cannot wait for President Trump to come back to the White House. We have to take the burden off him. This must stop now. There's no doubt in your mind because they're putting out stuff. Every time we mention something or you mention something, there's a letter that comes out. There's a request that goes out, but it's not a coherent plan to go forward and to look at this as a vast conspiracy of what it is. It's kind of like doing onesies, twosies. They need to get sorted, get the staffs together and just hit and then let the subpoenas fly, but have some sort of concept or construct of which you volunteered to go in and to basically free of charge, be an advisor, be a counsel to the committees and to walk them through this. Is that correct, sir?
I mean, I already work 20 hours a day, so I'm happy to work 24. I'm happy to go volunteer my time and show these guys, I'll be nice, these guys on the House Judiciary Committee how to do their jobs. I've been pretty successful at things on the Hill, like transforming the Supreme Court for President Trump, and I can show them how to do their jobs. maybe some baby steps, or they can just get the hell out of my way and I can do their jobs for them. But they need to step up, right? Where is this weaponization committee? Why yes. has it not been staffed up? What the heck has it been doing for the last nearly 2 years, right?
And I can represent here on War Room that you would be open to go see Speaker Johnson and his staff immediately to walk them through why Speaker Johnson's wrong and why you actually can get involved and get engaged in this right now and begin the process of shutting this down?
No question. I don't fear anyone, as you know, and I will gladly go tell anyone when they're wrong. And I think Mike Johnson is wrong here to say that they should not be pausing. I guess if you read the article, he says he doesn't want to defund the office. Well, at a minimum, he can support Congressman Andrew Clyde's appropriations writers that were championed by the Article 3 Project to pause these federal and state prosecutions of a major presidential candidate until after the election. If these cases are so good, wait till after the election. And then if they still want to move forward after Trump's elected by the American people, if they still want to move forward with these prosecutions after the election, then we can deal with then. But between now and the election, it is unacceptable that President Trump is stuck in a New York courtroom and illegally, unconstitutionally gagged for several weeks instead of on the campaign trail because Joe Biden is so weak and corrupt and compromised. And these Democrats know that he'll go crap his pants if they let him out too far in the White House. If they put him on the campaign trail, they're going to have to change his diaper mid-speech. And they know that. That's why they want Trump in a courtroom and even a jail cell instead of on the campaign trail.
Mike Davis, where do people go for Article 3? Not just to learn about it, but people are telling me they love the action site. Where do they go for all of it?
Article3project.org, article3project.org. You can take action there, including supporting the appropriations writers by Andrew Clyde. There are patch-through phone calls to both your senators and to your representative. There are emails that we set up for you. There are social media that we set up for you. It's very easy at the Take Action site. At Article 3 Project on Getter, Twitter, Truth. My personal is at MRDDMIA, MRDDMIA. And thank you, Steve.
Mike Davis, I got the 20 hours a day. If you go volunteer, I got a way to clear up and carve back some stuff. We'll just cut half of your, 30 media hits a day just to let you go to work for Jordan. God, what a media. We've created a monster, Mike Davis. I love you, brother. Keep fighting.
Thank you.
Cold open. Thank you, sir. Cold open now for Dr. Seb Gorka.
Now to Russia and the country celebrating Victory Day, which is held each year to mark the defeat of Nazi Germany during the Second World War. The centrepiece is a huge military parade in Red Square beside the Kremlin in Moscow. President Vladimir Putin used the occasion to warn that his forces were always ready for combat and that he would not allow anyone to threaten his country. He also took the opportunity to praise the Russian soldiers fighting in Ukraine.
All the participants in the military operation, those are our heroes. We bow our heads before your resilience. Together with you, the whole of Russia believes in you. And the moral supremacy of your exploits.
The moral supremacy. So, Seb, they commemorate what they call victory in Europe, victory of the Nazis on the 9th because of the time difference. Very different than you saw yesterday, the way we commemorate the 79th anniversary of Victory in Europe Day. I mean, it couldn't be more stark. Tell us, why is that, sir?
Well, it was very weird because it was a kind of, dollar store, dollar general version of the stuff that we remember from the Cold War, Steve. I mean, do you remember how long those parades lasted in the 1970s and 80s? You know, the SCADA missile launchers, the ZSU-324s, all the coolest, latest kit. Today, they had one, count them, one T-34 tank. Not even you know, a squad of T-80s, a tank that is almost 100 years old. Are the rest of the T-34s being used up in Ukraine? And then the size was small by comparison to past a victory parade that was less than 10,000. About 9,000 people were involved, which by comparison to prior years is very small. And then we have the constant mention. I just want to get it right, because, you know, in Russia, if you use the word war for Ukraine, you can actually be charged with a crime and put in prison. The constant mention by Putin, the former KGB colonel, of special military operation. Not a war, but a special military operation. So, you know, I don't know if it smacks of desperation, Steve, but very different from what we were used to watching as Cold War warriors in the 70s and 80s.
Is that because they're actually being bled out quite a bit in Ukraine? I mean, it's very tough to actually find out, because even the intelligence agencies are gun decking this information. Is your sense that they're being bled out? I mean, this is a slugfest down there. Ukrainians, forget Zelensky and all these guys. I mean, they're troops, particularly the average age of 42 years old, are giving as good as they're getting, are they not?
Well, you know how it works. When you're defending your own territory, it's a heck of a lot easier than when you're using conscripts you're having to ship in from hundreds of miles away. As I said from the beginning, irrespective of who Zelensky is or how corrupt Kiev is, Ukraine, after the Holodomor, is going to fight not to the last man, Steve. They're going to fight to the last 12-year-old girl who's got a pointy stick. Let's just do the math of it. You remember the military balance from RUSI, from RUSI in London. Every year they'd collect all the open source intelligence on the military of every nation in the world, and you could do the math. The military balance was very clear 2.5 years ago. Ukraine was ranked 27 in the world. 22nd in the world in terms of military power. The Russian Federation was ranked second under us. Now, you know, second versus 22nd should have been a cakewalk if you believed the statistics. If you, like Mark Milley, are a moron and said, oh yeah, Kiev's going to fall in 72 hours. And we're almost 3 years later. And yes, hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians killed, hundreds of thousands of Russians killed. But the second ranked military power in the world should have had this finished by the first Christmas after they invaded. So yeah, Putin's in trouble. And remember what really stopped the war in Afghanistan? Yes, it was us giving stingers to the Mujj, but it was also the grandmothers back in Moscow protesting the tin caskets coming home. When the grandmothers weren't afraid of Brezhnev, weren't afraid of the gerontocracy, that's when things really started to crumble for the Soviet Union. So maybe there are too many funerals back home already for Vlad.
That, Dr. Gorka, hang on for 1 second, Seb. We're going to take a short break. We're going to talk about Israel. Ben Harnwell, join us at 6. He and I are going to go through this recruitment crisis they're having in Ukraine with young people. We'll do that at 6. Short break.
For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one, and that's for over a decade. Patriot Mobile is a proud supporter of this show, and I am proud to partner with Glenn Story and his team. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to, but without funding people that hate your values, without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, and our military, veterans, and first responders. They're 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy, and I mean easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan that suits your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Bannon or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. You get a free month of service when you use the offer code Bannon. That's patriotmobile.com/Bannon. Join me. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. That's PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. Support people that support your values.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
So, Dr. Gorka, Biden, for the first time, this is after the House authorized money. In fact, I thought they impeached Trump over this, or they tried it in the first phony impeachment. Biden is now saying he's not going to send bombs, not going to send offensive weapons. Should Bibi call his bluff and just get into Rafah and let's get it on right now?
Oh, please, Lord, please. I mean, at Yad Vashem today, or rather, you know, in the evening in Israel, that's what Bibi said. He says, we don't need anybody. We're going to save our nation from the jihadis. I had a very angry monologue on my show today because he's Jihadi Joe. I mean, did you remember when President Trump was on my show a month ago? And there, he was on for an hour, and there's this one line that made the international news front page of the Daily Mail when President Trump said, if you're an American Jew and you vote for Biden, you hate Israel. Yes. Right, that one just exploded. What? Excuse me, what was just proven last night? There's a nation where Jesus walked the earth that is the only functioning nation in the Middle East, fighting to not only avenge the women and children murdered on October the 7th, but fighting for survival against the bloodthirsty animals of Hamas. And America doesn't want to give them the munitions to finish the job. That's the moment where every Jew in America has to say, yeah, the Democrats are the home of institutionalized bigotry, anti-Semitism. The party of the KKK wants Israel to fail. If this isn't a wake-up call, if you don't realize you are supporting the jihadis with your vote for Biden, nothing is. I've calmed down a little bit since then, but the fact is, you know, hashtag Jihadi Joe, everybody in the posse has to make that very popular today.
Seb, talk about, you were in counterterrorism for a long time. You were a trainer down at Quantico, writer of many of these great books, editor with us over at Breitbart, and you did this in the White House, although your most significant mandate was the CCP at the time. On college campuses, is this an organized Sharia supremacist uprising?
It is not only an organized anti-Western, anti-American, anti-Jewish supremacist effort. It's not just CARE. It's not just the usual suspects. It's not just, you know, Iran funneling money or the CCP funneling money. Look at what we found out from left-wing sources. This is fascinating. Left-wing MSM sources this week told us what? Who are the big backers? The Pritzker family, George Soros, and David Rockefeller Jr. I mean, enough said, Steve? Have we said enough? Those who detest their own nation, detest their own civilization, are funding the American citizens who are chanting from the river to the sea, which is a genocidal chant, as they are pulling down the stars and stripes, raising the watermelon flag of the Palestinians and chanting death to America. If you took my credit card to REI, you wouldn't be able to fill the whole quad at UC Berkeley, at Columbia, at Harvard, with exactly the same brand new camping equipment, tents across the quad. That is funded, Steve. Everyone who's got eyes to open and a heart with a pulse knows this is where we're at. It's like Katie's new book, Next Gen Marxism. This didn't happen under Obama. This didn't happen under Biden. This is a 100-year plan from Gramsci to Alinsky, the Frankfurt School, all the way up to having, you know, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar in the Democrat Party today. This is the most perverse time in history. This is like your fourth turning, obsession. We are living in a time, Steve, where the elite detests their own civilization. Yes, the Romans were decadent. Yes, the Greeks were decadent. But never before has an elite actually detested the nations that they lead and the civilization of which they are a part. That's why November 5th isn't a political thing, Steve. It's a civilizational thing.
Brilliant. Seb, where did they go for the show, the podcast, your books, the writings, all of it?
Just look for Seb Gorka or Sebastian Gorka on all the platforms except the fascists at YouTube. We stream the Daily Show on Rumble. My Substack is sebastiangorka.substack.com. And let me ask you a question. I meant to ask you this offline, but I should do it in front of everybody. I want to send something to Peter Navarro. I want to send him a letter, support him. Is there a way to reach out to our former colleague in prison?
Yes. We talk to him every week. We'll get it to you right after the show. We'll get it to you. Make sure.
Let's
you get
do
it
that
to
and let's
Absolutely.
Post it as well. So everybody, all the posse members can also write him as well.
Peter Navarro is being overwhelmed with letters right now. He's running the deal over there. He's getting ripped. Of course, Jordan sent a letter today because the Bureau of Prisons would not let Gates go visit him because they said he's too notorious, Seb, and he's in for a misdemeanor. He's in for a misdemeanor.
You remember we used to arrive pretty early to the office, like before 7 o'clock. When we arrived to the White House, Peter was already coming back from his morning run. The guy's pretty hardcore.
Pretty hardcore. Dr. Gorka, we got to get Katie on, too, about her new book. Just I'll talk to you about it right after the show.
Thanks,
the new
buddy.
Chairman over at Fairfax. Okay, bro. Andrew Giuliani. He is live outside the courthouse. Andrew, you told me before the show when you're getting ready that you think, and you follow this every day, you think President Trump may have had his best day ever. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I do. First off, I got to thank Cassandra Watkins, who helped me with the reporting in the courtroom. We're using her setup right now. She's done a fantastic job. I wouldn't be able to do the job without her. Steve, there were a couple of really key moments today. First off, the defense did an incredible job leading off of the cliffhanger on Tuesday, showing that there was motive, that money was a motive for Stormy Daniels. They showed that Stormy Daniels has changed her story from the time that she gave the In Touch magazine interview to when she went on with Anderson Cooper to just her testimony a few short days ago in terms of whether she was threatened by President Trump or not threatened by President Trump. Originally, she said she was not threatened by President Trump. This is after she violated her gag order and alleged that they did, in fact, have sex. And then you get to what I thought might have been the real key of the entire day. Madeleine Westerhout, somebody that you and I worked with in the White House, somebody who, frankly, I didn't have a great relationship in the White House because I suspected her of leaking what she ended up getting fired for. This is somebody who could have been really, really, really tough on the Trump team over here. She ended up breaking down and crying during the prosecution's questioning here, saying that she knows President Trump to be a good man, that he's misconstrued by the media, and that she knows that he and Melania have a great relationship. She's observed many times with he and Melania laughing very hard in the Oval Office. I think that was a curveball that maybe the prosecution, even though it was their witness, did not see coming. They ended their questioning of Madeleine Westerhout, the former executive aide to President Trump in the Oval Office, and the defense ended up taking that questioning. It was an emotional moment. If this, Steve, is not actually about the facts of an alleged crime, of which we still don't know what the underlying felony is, and it is about painting Trump to be a bad guy, which is what the prosecution seems to be trying to do, man, did they end up taking a hit to their case with Madeleine Westerhout this afternoon.
This is why, let's go through why Madeleine Westerhout is so important. If people remember during the transition, when the TV cameras were in the lobby of Trump Tower, Madeleine was the person you saw all the time, young woman that was escorting people, VIPs, potential cabinet selectees, your father, Rudy, who was coming up all the time up there. And she then rolled in to be the person right next to Hope Hicks on the little office right outside the Oval Office. She had Hope Hicks and you had Madeleine. So she was a key person in just seeing the flow of people coming in and out and the president having conversations with people. Is that correct, Andrew?
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Steve. And, you know, at least certainly when I worked in the White House, she was there for 2.5 of the years. You know, you'd have to basically go through Madeleine. Steve, I know you had direct access, but I know that there were times basically where Madeleine knew that you were in the Oval Office or not. So basically everything that ended up happening with President Trump when he was in the Oval Office had to go somehow through Madeleine Westerhout. And that grew and grew and grew throughout her 2.5 years in there. She ended up getting promoted to Director of Oval Office Operations. So basically there was almost nothing that happened with President Trump in the White House, in the West Wing of the White House, without Madeleine Westerhout knowing. I think the prosecution thought that they could get some really, really salacious details out of Madeleine Westerhout that turned a complete 180 on them. And Madeleine Westerhout testified that President Trump is a good man and that she saw many times of Melania and President Trump laughing very hard in the Oval Office. I believe that she said that she even wishes she has a relationship like that. So it turned out to be really, I think, actually a shocking moment in this trial and one that the jury will sleep on. We'll put it that way.
Talk to us about it. Put us in the room. You could tell the prosecution all of a sudden realized, hey, this is not going the way we want. And they were very interested in trying to shut this down, this line of inquiry on a remember, she's a prosecution witness. And she's the prosecution witness, I think, coming right after Stormy Daniels. So you're now getting like murderer's row of the most important witnesses. Could you tell the prosecution wanted to jump in and kind of shut this thing down?
Yeah, you absolutely could tell. You could tell how quickly they ended their questioning. It seemed to me like the prosecution was going to continue to question Madeleine Westerhout till the end of the day. The judge was going to end it before he heard some mistrial arguments, of course, which he ended up declining those mistrial arguments from Blanche. But that's beyond the point. The prosecution basically wrapped up within 2 or 3 minutes of Madeleine Westerhout breaking down, becoming emotional on there. And you could then see it with the body language of both President Trump and his defense team, along with the district attorney's office. President Trump marched out of there, looked like a conquering general as he was walking out the back of the room, where the assistant district attorneys looked slumped over. They looked, what's the best way to describe this? Similar to the way that Lawrence O'Donnell was described by President Trump a couple days ago.
So tell me about, listen, they haven't brought up a crime yet. We still don't know what the crime is. It's something about election interference in 2016, right? It's kind of very amorphous. But the whole thing they're trying to do is the narrative that Trump's a bad guy, Trump's a sleazy guy, Trump's somebody for the women in America, Trump's somebody you don't want to be around, and you certainly don't want him in the Oval Office. How did the cross-examination, and we'll hold you to the break, but how did the cross-examination, the cross by Trump's attorneys, go on the Stormy Daniels story?
On the Stormy Daniels story specifically, you know, it was, I'm sorry, Steve, were you talking about, there was a horn in the background there. Were you talking about the Stormy Daniels story to Madeleine Westerhout or specifically the cross-examination?
No, the cross-examination, just the cross-examination. How did Trump's, because they've been waiting for this a long time to cross Stormy Daniels. Yeah. And hey, it shouldn't go, you know, there are no coincidences. Today they announced that Miss December, the playmate Bunny, is not even going to testify. I think the prosecution was leaked. The prosecution told him that, The playmate Bunny of 1999 is not going to even testify. I assume that's because they're not that happy with how Stormy Daniels did on the stand.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think the Trump team did a great job in cross-examination showing how Stormy Daniels' story has changed throughout the years. Of course, with the non-disclosure agreement that she ended up signing, where she said that she never ended up having any kind of sexual encounter with President Trump. That changed in 2018 when she gave an interview to In Touch magazine and then to Anderson Cooper, where she said that they did engage in sexual relations, but she never ever felt threatened, that Trump was a complete gentleman, were the words that were said. That testimony was very different when the prosecutors questioned her on Tuesday, where she said she did feel threatened, where she felt like the blood was rushing to her head, that she was going to pass out. And by the way, Susan Nichols, I think, did a great job pointing out that Stormy Daniels is somebody who has acted and directed in over 200 pornographic films, how it may be tough to believe that somebody who has done that, had that experience.
Andrew, hang on for one second. We'll come right back to you. Can't pay the IRS? You haven't filed in a while? Receiving threatening letters? Hey, it's about to get worse. You know why? The IRS is hiring an army of agents targeting hardworking Americans like you. They ain't going after the billionaires. They're coming after you. And you need warriors on your side. You need Tax Network USA. Tax Network USA has a brilliant strategy to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. For instance, they discover a limited special offer that the IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties. Let me repeat that. The IRS is prepared to waive
$1 billion in penalties. But you have to find out today whether you qualify. Never let the IRS come at you alone. Let Tax Network USA's attorneys handle it. They have preferred direct lines to the IRS. They know which agents to work with and which agents to avoid. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debt and offer a best-in-class guarantee. Let me repeat that. They've already solved for folks just like yourself $1 billion in tax debts. Now schedule your free consultation. Let me repeat that. It's a free consultation now. Call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit the website taxnetworkusa.com/Bannon. That's taxnetworkusa.com/Bannon.
Today, I don't think we have to do any explaining. I'm not allowed to anyway because this judge is corrupt. He's a corrupt judge. This judge, what he did and what his ruling was, is a disgrace. Everybody saw what happened today. He's a corrupt judge, and he's totally conflicted. And I got to get back on the campaign trail. I'm not supposed to be here. We are so innocent. There's never been anything like it. Read every single analyst, legal analyst. I'm innocent, and I'm being held in this court with a corrupt judge who's totally conflicted. Take a look at his conflict. It's a disgrace to the city of New York, to the state of New York, and to the country. Thank you very much.
Wow, he walked out like a conquering general. And I got to tell you, Andrew Giuliani, I've been saying President Trump, first of all, Netanyahu called Biden's bluff. President Trump called the judge's bluff, right? People should be calling Matt Gaetz, these Republicans, call the Republicans you think are going to go to Hakeem Jeffries' side. I don't believe it. Call their bluff. It's the time now. Call bluffs. President Trump. Hey, gag order, no gag order. I think correct me if I'm wrong, Andrew, does President Trump think the judge is corrupt?
Steve, that would be safe to assume. And Steve, I have to tell you, in being in that courtroom, there are just a lot of things that end up happening with this judge where it certainly makes you question. I mean, the fact that the judge have admitted that the prosecution led the witness, Stormy Daniels, outside the guardrails that he set, but put it on Trump's defense team to object to that rather than a mistrial. Remember, the judge can object to that if he sees a witness going across those guardrails that he set, basically making it irreparably damaged in the eyes of the jury there. And the judge chose not to do that. You can just see it whenever Blanche, the president's attorney, argues versus the district attorney's office about mistrials, about the gag order. There is never, ever a time that I can remember where the judge has interrupted any of the assistant district attorneys. And he interrupts Blanche often, including in this last argument right here. It certainly seems to me, time and time again, that the judge is very predictable in what he's going to say. And almost every time it lines up with the assistant district attorney's office. And look, to President Trump's point over here, I think it's very important in pointing out, when he talks about the judge being as conflicted, his daughter has profited to the tune of $90 million. Her firms have profited to the tune of $90 million, $37 million off of Adam Schiff's campaign, $7.5 million off of Kamala Harris, more than $2 million off of the Biden for President campaigns, $90 million off of Democratic candidates. And Steve, on my social media feeds, guess what? I have a picture of me and my family up there on the top of my social media. Well, she has a picture of Donald J. Trump behind bars. That is the daughter of the judge who's supposed to be unbiased, ruling in the very first case that we have of a leading candidate for president on trial.
It's absolutely unbelievable. Last thing, and this is David Zier, what he gave us the other day. You brought it up to us when Madeleine Westerholt was there and actually saying the good things about President Trump. Were the keyboards of Maggie Haberman in the New York Times, were they banging loudly or was it silent, Andrew Giuliani?
Steve, you can always tell when it's good news for President Trump because there is silence in the courtroom, except for me, where I continue to type and let people know what's happened, good or bad. But it's very funny. I said this the other day, when the prosecution was out there questioning Stormy Daniels, it was a nonstop chatter of keyboards. As soon as Nicholas, President Trump's attorney, was questioning, those keyboards stopped. That happened today again when Madeleine Westerhout broke down on the stand. You could hear a complete silence in the courtroom. And you're walking out, you could see the Trump team was all smiles walking out today. They know what happened, and they know that what would happen in the eyes of an unbiased jury. It was a great day for Donald J. Trump.
Andrew Giuliani, your social media, how do people get you? Reporting for Real America's Voice there in the courtroom, of course, with the backup of all the folks you've got, just tremendous. Where do people go?
Thank you, Steve. At Andrew H. Giuliani, and I am live tweeting, live truthing about all the things that are happening in there. We saw CNN doing some misreporting a few days ago, and I decided to make sure that we had real facts out there. There are certainly opinions that I put in parentheses, but I at least want the American people to know what is being said by the witnesses, by the defense, and by the prosecutions in there.
Andrew, thank you so much. Honored to have you on here, brother. Great job. Is this guy one of the best? Better than any of the networks. I mean, and remember, he's not on a teleprompter. That's just bang. He's just giving it to you right there from his heart. Just incredible. Speaking of heart, hopefully get Mike Lindell over the next couple of days. He's got a lot to report. But one thing you want the War Room posse to know, that there's absolutely no charge for shipping. No charge for shipping of all the goods that you get from either mystore.com, promo code War Room, or MyPillow.com, promo code WARROOM, or when you call 800-873-1062. Free shipping for all the War Room posse. Let me repeat that. Free shipping, no matter how big your order is. This is a special for Mike Lindell. Make sure you take advantage of it, and also tell the folks that they're answering the phone that you have their backs. Okay, at 6 o'clock in the next hour, we're going to get into some capital markets. There's all, you know, CNN, Erin Burnett, and God bless her. You saw a little bit of, on the 4 o'clock show here. I think they ended with part of her interview. We're going to play a little bit of it. She gets in Biden's grill about some facts. She kind of tippy toes up to it, but she gets there and he kind of explodes with all bad information. Richard Stern from Heritage is going to join us on exactly what's driving inflation and why it's not going away. Ben Harnwell will be with me. We got a lot to talk about Ukraine. They're trying to slide in a 10-year funding bill. I want to make sure you know all about that. In times of turbulence, and we mentioned fourth turning, Seb Gorka did. It is an obsession of mine. We are in a fourth turning, and it's only going to get more turbulent as we go through it. In times of turbulence, more than ever, you need to know about precious metals. Don't take it from me. Take it from our sponsor, Birch Gold. Go there today, birchgold.com/Bannon. End of the dollar empire. We worked with their staff. But more importantly than the free fifth installment is go talk to Philip Patrick and the team. Go do it today. Also, our sponsors, Jace Medical. Don't be caught short on shortages with your medicine under any circumstances. Go to Jace Medical. They got the kits. They got the programs. They got it all. Dr. Sean Rowland and the team, jacemedical.com. Check it out today. And of course, My Patriot Supply. Make sure you go to My Patriot Supply, the best company, single best company in the preparation business. You don't have to be a prepper to go use it. Check it out. And coffee, warpath.coffee/warroom. 4,400 reviews by War Room Posse members. Check that out. Stick around. I'm going to get another bottle of water, and we're going to get back on the 6 o'clock show. Stick around. You're in the War Room. I want to warn you of a huge change that could be coming to our money and our bank accounts. First, think back to 9/11, shortly after the government pushed through the Patriot Act. This gave the government power to spy on innocent Americans by monitoring our phone and email and tracking our movement across the internet. Now, Jim Rickards, editor of the independent financial newsletter Strategic Intelligence and New York Times bestselling author, is warning about a coming event that could elevate this governmental surveillance to a terrifying new level. In fact, some of the guests I've had on the War Room believe that the government will soon expand their powers to track our every move. If we say the wrong things on social media, donate to the wrong causes, buy firearms, or even vote MAGA, the government may be able to shut us out of our bank accounts. I can't say for sure if this will happen, but it's an interesting in dire warning. Fortunately, Jim Rickards, an American patriot and friend of mine, has made it his mission to educate us on what he believes is coming and how to protect yourself
from the possibility of programmable money. Watch Jim's warning video now before it's censored like I've been in the past. Go to rickardswarroom.com. That's rickardswarroom.com now to see the video. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there, do it today. Check it out.